Zoe, you're a Trudeau scholar. What does that mean? What's a Trudeau scholar?
Well, I'm a 2011 Trudeau scholar, and every year the foundation gives out up to 15 awards to PhD students doing work in the social sciences that align with the four themes of the foundation. And my work in particular looks at people's relationships to the environment, so it aligns with human rights as well as the theme that the foundation enshrines in its people and their natural environment.
So tell me about your program at the University of Aberdeen. What are you doing there?
I'm doing a three-year PhD at the University of Aberdeen in anthropology. So I'm about 2.5 years into the program, and I'm looking at sort of human-environmental relationships. I'm interested in how people relate to the environment, how they are embedded within their own environments, and what that means for day-to-day life in communities like the one that I was working in.
So why did you choose the University of Aberdeen?
Well, it was kind of like fate. I met my current supervisor at a conference here in Edmonton, and a few months later, I actually received a book as a gift from a friend, and it turned out to be the book that my current supervisor had written, and I kind of took the initiative after that to follow up and apply to the university because I felt really inspired by the work that she does.
I understand that Aberdeen has a very strong Arctic research program.
Yes, there's a number of people in the department whose work is situated in the north, so there's a real cross-section of people who work in Siberia, Alaska, Canada, Greenland, and also in Sweden, Norway, and Scandinavia. So there's a real richness to the work that people are doing across the north.
So you've just spent almost a year up in the Northern Arctic in a community called Politek. Tell me a little bit about your time there and what it is you were researching.
Well, my work in particular looks at the discourse and practice of fishing today and in the past in the community of Politek, which is an Inuvialuit community. And I'm particularly interested in women's knowledge of the environment and how that is shaped through fishing. So I'm really interested in how knowledge is shaped by fishing and in turn how that shapes life in the community and at a broader level throughout the territory.
So did you actually go out fishing?
Yeah, actually I was really fortunate to go fishing with some friends quite a bit throughout the spring, summer, and fall. And it was really wonderful to get the opportunity to do that because fishing in the Arctic in many ways is like fishing back home in Alberta, but in other ways it's completely different. So it was really exciting to get to experience that.
How is it different?
Well, the landscape is just so much bigger, and the types of fish that people are catching are just so much healthier. And I mean, the size of a char that people could catch in Politek just totally eclipses the kind of fish you can get here on the prairies. So it's pretty amazing to be able to, you know, watch people pull in fish like that on a regular basis.
And why women? Why women in fishing? Do they have an important role?
Well, fishing plays a fairly important role in Politek, and obviously it's not the only thing that people do. People are also involved in hunting and trapping and also gathering plants and berries throughout the year. But fishing is something that women are involved in a very real way, and it's also something that's accessible to people in ways that polar bear hunting and caribou hunting aren't. So it's something that everybody has the opportunity to participate in. And it's something that gets overlooked quite often at the policy level. So there's a lot of attention to caribou and polar bear harvesting and other charismatic megafauna, but fish in and of themselves don't capture people's imagination. So they kind of just get overlooked in a lot of northern policy work.
What have you learned from your research so far?
Well, first of all, that women are harvesters in their own right. And I think that really needs to be acknowledged, that women do get their own fish. It's not just that women are processing fish, which is often what people sort of bring up. Women are out there harvesting on their own. And that's, you know, really important to think about, because through those actions of harvesting, women are generating particular knowledge that should be paid attention to. And I think that also shapes, you know, social relationships within the community and could give us really important insight into potential impacts in the future, like those that could accrue from climate change and resource exploration. We really need to think about, you know, we know fairly well what will happen to men's harvesting activities, but we really haven't thought that hard about what will happen to women when these environmental changes affect northern communities.
And what about in development activity? How is that impacting on perhaps changing the way society is up there?
Well, Palatuk is kind of unique in that there isn't any major resource development happening there right now. So unlike communities in the Mackenzie Delta, which are facing existing and current impacts from oil and gas activity, Palatuk at the moment doesn't have any active resource development happening, but there is the potential for it in the future. So it's important to think about how changes to the environment from resource development can impact people's day-to-day lives. And because harvesting is such a big part of life in a community like Palatuk, it's really incumbent on policymakers and industry and community leaders to really think about what that will mean for everyone on the ground when those types of changes, you know, hit. So resource development, there's a lot of research that's looked at what it's done to communities in the southern NWT with the diamond mining that's happened and oil and gas as well. So there's things that communities like Palatuk can look to understand how that will impact the community. But communities also are unique, so you have to think about, you know, what will happen to them on their own terms. And so that's where the type of local grounded work that anthropologists do is important, because they're thinking about communities in very detailed ways and really trying to understand what will happen in the future if say a mine were to open up 10, 20 years from now.
The fact that you have a Métis background, has that influenced in any way your ability to do the type of research that you're doing?
Oh, absolutely. Being Métis is something that's really motivated me to want to work on Indigenous issues and has really grounded me in an awareness of Indigenous politics and has made me want to understand how things like environmental change impact the day-to-day life of Indigenous people. So although I'm not a northerner and didn't grow up in the north, I did grow up fishing in northern Alberta. So these are things that are really important to me because, you know, they shaped who I am today. So I feel, you know, very drawn to working on Indigenous issues. So although I'm not a Nuvialuit, I feel very blessed that I've been able to work in this context.
And now you're heading back to Scotland to write up your PhD.
Yeah, I'm going to be working back in Aberdeen for another year.
Thank you very much, Zoe.
You're welcome.